Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the land-grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 16th day of August 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take up the cash grain market with Ben Pruce at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. And along the way, Dave Dickey will be here with an update of the commodity markets, and we'll hear part of Coach Gross's address to the crowd of farmers at Agronomy Day yesterday. Coach Gross, of course, the head coach for the Illini basketball team. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for a Friday afternoon. September futures in the wheat pit for the soft red were down 6.5 cents at $6.31. December at 6.43.5, down 6. September corn 7.75 lower at 4.73.75. December at 4.63.5, down 8.75. And the March contract at $4.76, that's down 8.5 cents for the day. May contract at 484, 8.5 lower, and July corn of next year down 9 cents at $4.90. December of 2014, $4.99.75, 9 cents lower. Soybeans now $12.83 and a quarter, down a nickel. November at 12.59 and a quarter, 6.25 lower. And January futures at 12.61 and three quarters, down 6.5 cents. The March at 12.50 and three quarters, down 9.25. And May contract at 12.33.5, down 12.75. Bean meal futures at 408.80, a dollar lower. Bean oil at 42.81, down 31 cents. Live cattle at 123.90, up 20 cents. August feeders at 154.77.5, 67.5 higher. September there at 157.67.5, up 60 cents. And lean hogs finished at $86.72.5. They were 57.5 cents higher on the day. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Let's check the outside markets now as they finished up in Chicago for the day. They look like this. The crude oil at 15 cents higher, $107.48 a barrel. Gasoline for the wholesale price at $2.96.08. That's a penny and 6 cents lower. Ethanol futures at 2.22 and 9 tenths, down 1 3 tenths. And natural gas at 3.37. That's 4 9 tenths lower. Diesel fuel at $3.08 and 6 tenths of a cent, a penny and 3 tenths higher for the day. Gold futures finished at $1,371.20 an ounce, up $10.10. And the U.S. dollar trading at 81.26, that's 0.08 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 77 degrees on an east-northeast wind at about 7 miles an hour tonight, mostly clear and a low of 53. Saturday, sunny skies and 80 degrees. Saturday night, clear and 56. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies. And we'll see a high Sunday of 82. Sunday evening, clear and 61. Mostly sunny on Monday and 84. Monday night, clear and 64. Getting the trend here, no rainfall. Mostly clear Monday evening and 64. Tuesday, sunny skies and 87. Tuesday night, clear and 67. Wednesday, sunny and 88. Wednesday night, cloudy and 69. And on Thursday, sunny skies and 88 degrees. We'll try to take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey here on the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is the 16th day of August 2013, a Friday afternoon. Always we talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd. Hey, I was able to get ready to go golfing finally because I got my snake bite kit from Amazon.com.
Fine.
By the time we get done talking, everybody will think I live out in the Wild West.
Well, what is it like out there? I got to know. How do you like it?
Oh, it's very pleasant. It's a little bit more humid. It's a little bit more warmth during the sunlight during the days. It gets hotter out here, that's for sure. I think we're probably pretty close to the same east-west as maybe Marshall or Terre Haute or something like that. You know, somewhere around there. As far as Terre Haute, Indiana, or Marshall, Illinois, it's kind of the same climate, I think, more similar than up in Lafayette was.
Yeah, you should have moved it to Nebraska. It's hot, but it's a dry heat. Hot, but a dry heat. Actually, they're suffering pretty good out there still. What's the crops look like? Have you been out and about again?
I have not been out for about a week. We had more rain this week, and it came in the evenings, and it was very welcome. And so I think it really helped the beans quite a bit. I'm not sure about the corn because, like I said, I haven't really been out in it. But the beans visibly look better just past my house. And there's not as many cornfields around me that I can get to. But probably go out this weekend and take a look at it. But it was interesting because I was talking to Dave earlier today about tip back in Illinois, and one of our colleagues sent me a YouTube video from Macon about some tip back, and it sounds like that's starting to hit some of the areas not far from Muhammad and your area that hasn't seen a lot of rain since July, so kind of similar to what we experienced out here in eastern Kansas.
Yeah, I have to admit, on my at Commodity Week feed, for Twitter, I dropped in a nice picture of some really good ears as I was going to the state fair last week, but I had to turn those. It was tipped back, but only on one side. It was a little odd, and all three of them were that way. They were nice ears, though.
Yeah, they're still a good crop. It's just not maybe what it could have been two weeks ago.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say it was a blue ribbon crop. That's and I didn't think it would move the marketplace. I was pretty sure that was the case.
Well, it may have if it was bearish.
No, oh, don't, man. You're going to get me in trouble. Okay, let's do something that's better than that for the farmers. How about, did you see the FSA stuff this week? They started coming out with some numbers on prevent plant, and I saw numbers earlier in the week, and what I saw didn't quite jive in my mind, that they added up correctly. I think 3.411 was the total number of acres, but what I didn't get, that was 3.411 million acres for corn on prevent plant, then something like 1.9 for soybeans and 1.7 for wheat.
Right.
There was a map that I saw came in from Wayne Nelson, sent me one just before we went on the air. I forwarded that to you. It came from the FSA, I believe, but he got it from Iowa Farm Bureau. I haven't been able to track down the source, but it looks to me like the prevent plant acres, whether it's corn or beans, probably both, but just the primaries are really up in the heart of corn-growing country along the Iowa-Minnesota border. There are about six counties up there that have more than 20% prevent plant in land area. That would seem like an awful lot to me.
Yeah, I think that probably corresponds with some of the aerial footage that was broadcast on AgWeb, I think it was, a week ago. And I think that's where the Pro Farmer Tour will hopefully shed some light on this. I don't know if it can completely do it because it's all on the ground, but maybe it will be able to shed some light on it. I think from where I sit and looking at just the numbers, when July USDA planted acres for corn went up 100,000 acres, and then they took the harvested acres down, I believe, 400,000 from 89.5 to 89.1.
Right.
And I think some are thinking that part of that is due to prevent plant. But I think methodology-wise, I struggle with that because I would think prevent plant would mean less planted acres, not less harvested acres. because they took Prevent Plant and are saying this stuff's going to stay fallow. So I think the methodology would say you can't count that 400,000 harvested less. And even if you would, I think, you know, if you took 60% or 50% of the FSA number of 3.4 million, I still think you're talking about 1.5 million to 2 million acres that are probably harvested acres that are on the table as far as being taken out of the supply-demand table. That's how I see it at this point. And I would also say this week's report where they did take down harvested acres for soybeans, thought that made sense from a standpoint of the, you know, refiguring of the survey. But how can you take down harvested acres for soybeans but not do anything with corn? Because if you didn't get the beans in, then certainly you probably didn't get the corn in either. So I still think there's as many questions as there are answers at this stage of the game.
Yeah, and maybe I can pick your brain about these acres to begin with, because let's see, I'm trying to think when they did this. But they did drop, as you already mentioned, by about 400,000 acres corn once. Didn't they do it earlier in the year, too, before we would have been to the prevent plant dates?
I don't see anything, you know, because May was our first number,
right,
after the baseline report,
and
I didn't see anything.
May and then June and then July, so if they did it, they would have had to do it in June, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well,
yeah.
We can go back and look. Hey, about those acres up there in Iowa, I guess we'll get a firsthand look at them when we go up a bit later on the program. We're going to ask him about it, too. Ben Pruce from the Andersons at Everly, Iowa, will be in our Cash Grain segment, but we're going to head up there on the 4th and the 5th.
Yeah, that'll be very exciting. I think that's one of the things that I'm most looking forward to. The Farm Progress Show is another one. I think by the time we get done with that trip, I think the trade will, I think by that time, Todd, because you'll know what the last 10 days of August did as far as weather, I think there'll be a lot more people singing off the same music sheet and same hymnal at that point. So I think the next 2 weeks the market will come together and come to some conclusion. But I mean, like I said to Dave this morning, and I hate to repeat it, but I think it's worth saying, I really do think for both the corn and bean futures market, we're in kind of a 2009 tunnel vision. Buy the beans because we're not sure the crop is made. Sell the corn on the spread because we feel like the crop is made, especially with that turn in the weather back in June.
Yeah, I've got one more question on the corn. Is it possible that at this point, and maybe December corn, maybe not, that the little rally we had this week, you know, was just based, it was based some on what we might see in new crop, but mostly on the idea that end users simply still don't have everything met all the way through September.
Yeah, and I think that's where the spread has a lot of work to do. When we see the basis jump as much as it did this week, and we got two different USDA agencies giving us a fundamentally friendly look anyway, you didn't have to say it was a flat-out bearish report in corn for either two of those reports. I think you do have a tendency in this market now to have to gravitate back to the cash. Why? Because the September is coming into delivery, and I think between that, the weather in the next 10 days, and the crop conditions are going to still play a major role because, after all, we're only 5% dented right now in corn as of this Monday's weekly report. So the USDA is still going to have to rely upon crop conditions and satellite data pretty substantially in September.
I guess really there were three USDA agencies that gave a friendly look at the corn market, World Ag Outlook Board, NASS, and FSA. If they're all agreeing, that might be a bad deal.
Well, and that's true. And, the other thing that I saw today that really didn't have any impact in the market materially at all, I don't think, was the idea that the rains in India were so bad about a month ago and up until the last 3 weeks that we knew they probably hurt some of their oilseed crop. But
right
now they're talking about 40% of their exports not going out the door because of quality and just lost crop. And you start talking about that with India. India is a lot like the Black Sea where it comes to, it's a pretty bearish factor if they have good crops and can throw, crop and supply onto the world market.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Well, the big news, I think, today was that the Merck is going to shut, Merck drug maker is going to shut down the usage of Zilmax and selling of Zilmax. And so I think we still have an unfinished
right
book, so to speak, when it comes to the livestock market next week, because I would think the weights would have to be discounted at this stage.
I need some clarification, because every time you and I have talked about this, it seemed to me that they would simply, that Tyson and such, those feeders would stop using it so they would not gain weight as quickly in the end, and they would have to have more corn to finish out. But somewhere along the lines, I got the idea that they would not buy feeder cattle to finish out that were fed with this. But I don't think that's right.
My understanding, and this could be wrong, but my understanding from some of the cattle clients I work with is it's really not used until the last 60 days in the feed ration. So I'm not sure, maybe that's where the rub is.
I think that's it, that it's really the way we had it to begin with, that it's... they're going to need more feed to finish out with corn because they're not going to have this to help gain weight at the end. But I did see a story somewhere along the line that was the other way around. It was confusing, but I think we've got it right and had it right the whole time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and he's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Of course, you can hear it again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Some things to put into your calendar. First, this one's for the DVR because I have other places for you to be next Tuesday at 7 p.m. But a farm story will air on WILL-TV with Jerry Apps. It's a portrait of farm life seen through the eyes of a boy growing up in rural America in the 1930s and 40s. Acclaimed historian and author Jerry Apps examines day-to-day rural life and evokes memories of a time when almost as many Americans lived on the farm as in the city. Fieldwork was done with horses, cows were milked by hand, lanterns were the source of light, and of course community was essential for survival. A Farm Story airs next Tuesday on WILL-TV at 7 p.m. Set your DVRs to record because there are two other places to be that evening. Chip Flory and company and the Pro Farmer crew will be in Bloomington. They'll have details of what they've been finding as they make their way across the Midwest on their crop tour. If you can't get to Bloomington, maybe you can come to Strasburg to the community building on Tuesday evening. I'll have more details as we get closer, but of course you can come down. We'll have one of our Will Ag panels there. And on hand with us, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, Matt Bennett from TGM, and Daryl Good. That's in Strasburg Tuesday evening. And I'll have more details. Be sure to listen to the Closing Market Report next week. On the subject of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, we'll talk to somebody each day from both the eastern and the western leg during the Closing Market Report Monday through Friday. And then Chip will be our guest next week on Commodity Week. Our guest this week on Commodity Week is Kevin Van Trump. We'll record that at 4:30 this afternoon. That's just a little bit of what's happening. Tuesday night is really busy. Again, you've got two places to be, one in Bloomington, one in Strasburg. You'll have to pick those out. And then don't forget to DVR A Farm Story on WILL-TV. Now up next, farmers attending yesterday's Agronomy Day right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois heard a little bit of a preview of the school's upcoming basketball season from the head coach, John Gross. The coach told them he hopes his farm background will underpin his basketball team's work ethic.
We have nine fresh faces, so we're extremely inexperienced. So they came into town, and I had this idea to bring in a Navy SEAL instructor to get our guys up. We got up at like 3 something in the morning and drove out to a lake, and a couple of the other mornings we were here on campus starting the workout at 5 in the morning, and what farmers do, right? My guys got to get more used to that. But it was a great experience. But one of the things he said to me, we had a meal at my house with him and the team, and he told the guys, he said, one of the things I've learned as a Navy SEAL is that the experience that you go through prepares you for the next. And when I think back about my childhood and its relationship to the farm, you know, Jerry is my stepfather, Jerry Steele. We owned Steele Hampshires Incorporated right on the Hendricks County, Putnam County line when I grew up. So I was 9 to probably 14 years old when very impressionable years when you're that age. You're learning a lot of different things. But to have the opportunity to grow up on a farm at that time, I look back on it and, you know, lessons like work ethic, you know, perseverance, being unconditional, a lot of the things that we talk about with our student athletes, you know, I learned a lot of those things now looking back on it right there on the farm.
That, of course, head basketball coach for the University of Illinois, John Gross, he was speaking to farmers at the school's annual Agronomy Day event held yesterday right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is the closing market report for a Friday afternoon. Let's check now the cash grain markets. On the phone line with us, not from the Everly office of the Andersons, the elevator there in Iowa. That's in the north central part of Iowa, but outstanding in a field, I suppose, is Ben Pruce. Ben, thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate that. How are you today?
Hey, doing good.
Okay, so, you know, last week when I talked to you, we were interrupted on some of the radio stations by an important announcement, of course, from President Obama. So very quickly, review who you are and what you do and where you're located.
Sure, yeah. It's Ben Pruce. I'm with the Andersons in Everly, Iowa, here in northwest Iowa. And I'm actually an account representative for them, so help with some risk management for local producers here.
And right now you've been out for how many hours today, or a few hours, or half hour or something?
I've actually been in the office for an hour today. We're starting to get some guys with some pretty serious concerns. Hey, I'm actually going to grow a crop, and the price is low. What the heck do I do?
Yeah, so you've been making counts. What are you finding?
You know, it's the rain's been sparse here in western Iowa. We did catch a good inch of rain here, but for the guys that did catch those bands of rain, you know, we're going to be in that firm 160 to 185 to there's some 220s, but there's also going to be some 100 bushel acre ground as well.
Okay, so when we get up at the 185, the 220, I understand the 185 though would be low for your area, maybe.
That's about average as far as most of the guys. You know, not specifically here in Clay County, Iowa, but you know, as far as these guys' APHs are concerned, you know, 185 is, you know, about what we'd consider normal.
And have you been around enough to know what prevent plant acres look like?
Not here specifically. I saw it earlier this week. They said 600,000 for Iowa, but you know, here in northwest Iowa specifically, in my trade area, I don't know a single guy that didn't get both corn and beans completely in.
So everybody got everything in. I think those.
Yeah.
I was looking at some of the maps, and it appeared. Let's see. You would be on the far western part of the prevented plant acres if they were
right.
Really there. So maybe have you heard much to the east of you whether that was the case?
To the southeast towards Des Moines, from basically what we call from Emmitsburg to Fort Dodge, Iowa, down to Des Moines, is the slug of the prevent plant stuff. And, I mean, it's they were just wet and simply couldn't get it in.
Do you remember at the moment what you're paying, relatively speaking, for corn, spot month? Or at least, what's your basis?
Basis today, we moved to 115 over the cent on corn.
That's what I needed to know. Hey, thanks
gotcha.
So much.
Yep.
Ben Pruce is with the Andersons. He's there in Everly, Iowa. More in just 2 minutes here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Rum Day. The origins of rum date back to antiquity. Fermented drinks produced from sugarcane may have first occurred in either ancient India or China. The first distillation of rum took place on sugarcane plantations in the Caribbean in the 17th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1888, John Pemberton died. Pemberton was the pharmacist who invented Coca-Cola in 1885. At first, it was a tonic French Wine Cola. Later, he modified the formula by omitting the alcohol and adding other vegetable essences. The new syrup was meant to be a cure for headaches. Pemberton sold the recipe, equipment, and machinery to manufacture the drink for just $1,200. In 1899, Robert Bunsen died, a German chemist. He discovered each element emits a light of characteristic wavelength. He also made a number of improvements in chemical batteries. In 1904, Wendell Stanley was born, a Spanish-American biochemist. He shared the 1946 Nobel Prize for Chemistry for his work in the purification and crystallization of viruses. And in 1973, Selman Waksman died, an American biochemist. He was one of the world's foremost authorities on soil microbiology. He discovered the antibiotic streptomycin, the first specific antibiotic effective against tuberculosis. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, joins us now to take a look at the weather forecast for the weekend and the week ahead. Jim, thanks so much. Tell me about
that.
Well, I was looking out at the forecast from the National Weather Service. It looks like a beautiful week, but only if you went sunny skies and really kind of nice temperatures, I guess.
That's right, yes. If you're a corn plant, it's a great week coming up. For us humans, maybe a little warmer than we normally would like. But, you know, it's today's a very nice day out, and even tomorrow the high is expected to be about 80 degrees. But as we move through into next week, each day you add about 2 degrees to that high temperature and to that low temperature and a couple percentage points on the humidity level. So we kind of, by the time you get into the middle of next week, we're looking at highs in about the mid-80s there, 84 on Monday and 87 on Tuesday and 88 on Wednesday and Thursday. So it's going to be actually well above average next week. Normal for us in this part of August is about 83, 84 degrees for the high. So we'll actually have one of those rare warm months or rare warm weeks, I should say. This coming week.
So tell me about the evaporative levels, humidity that will be out there. You said good for the corn crop, but of course they would like a drink of water, and I'm guessing maybe that if it's humid enough, it won't be nearly as harsh on it for not getting the rainfall.
That's right. Yeah, there is virtually no forecast for rain out there for the next 7 days. It's just going to be sunny skies and warm temperatures. You kind of look at the low temperatures and get a sense of how much the humidity levels are going to climb, and they're going to be starting out in the upper 50s this weekend, but by the middle of next week, they'll be in the mid-60s. So that's going to be fairly humid weather. So it'll feel more like what we'd expect to see in an August time frame than what we've had this week. So it'll be warm and humid, lots of sunshine, which, you know, there again, for the corn crop, that'll probably be good news.
No, we want it rain, but the month of September, I take it, maybe wetter than expected.
That's right. Yeah, this may be a case of, there's the National Weather Service forecast that came out yesterday show both September and that September, October, November time frame have an increased chance of above average precipitation. So that's kind of pointing towards the wet fall. Temperature-wise, they're not really saying much. They're fairly neutral on that forecast.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. He serves as the state climatologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Don't forget to come back to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org later this afternoon. By about 6 p.m. this evening, Central Time USA, we'll update it with our latest edition of Commodity Week. Our panelists in studio will include Jackie Vakes and Pete Manhart and Chuck Shelby. And on the phone line, Kevin Van Trump from Farm Direction. He's out in Raymore, Kansas. So we'll be looking for, maybe that's Raymore, Missouri. We'll be looking forward to having him on the program. It's Commodity Week up on our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Have a great weekend. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, Pioneer Seeds, Standard Grain, Cornerstone Building Products, and Risk Management Commodities. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs.